Sorry, the question was, is Compass going to be the Mace of Bali? Well, Viterra would hope so. That would certainly simplify bulk handling, storage, and grain marketing. So, you know, there's more than just me in the industry hoping that it does take a big market share, because the contest between varieties actually diminishes the value of our malting barley as a crop, makes it hard to market and assemble big enough parcels to really make the whole thing work. So it is actually in our interest to have a big variety supported by, you know, smaller varieties that suit particular applications or farming system queries. So I'm not predicting anything though. Well, the question, does Compass fit that? I think it's shown us from a production point of view, it's got pretty broad adaptation. It's coped with a range of different seasons since it's been in trials. Its moulding quality profile is basically the same as Commander. Commander's used in Soshu, VB, Qingzhou, just about every market that we service. So there's no reason to think that but most applications would be able to use it.
Yeah. Okay, can you raise about lodging risks in Compass, and do you see a role when we get a good season for growth regulants in Compass?
Yeah, possibly. I guess we got mixed experience this year. It's always good fun when a new variety goes out and you think you know what's going to happen, and then farmers do something with it that you think, oh, I wish you hadn't have done that. So there's... I'm estimating 10% of the Compass that's gone out has ended up on a legume stubble sown early with a high seeding rate and high upfront end. And so I'm hearing about at lodging. I guess here, sown relatively early, it's not going to have a lodging risk. So it's a moderately tall barley. It's not a semi-dwarf. It is barley. You'll be able to lodge it. But I think there's enough data to say there's not a lot of point going very early with your seeding date. I think there's a lot of evidence to show its grain size will protect you in terms of overshooting or overcooking your top dressing end, so you can afford to be more aggressive when you come back later than maybe you would be with, say, a scope where you can get screenings pretty easily. So I think the management's a little bit different, whereas a hindmarsh Latrobe, you probably get a better response, a yield response in terms of your upfront end than later. So there's some differences in how you manage them, I think.
What's very early for barley?
It depends on the district and the yield potential, I suppose.
It's pretty broad.
It is pretty broad, but April's early, unless you're I think in those sort of districts you got some different drivers. So it depends on how important early vigor and long coleoptile type things are. If they're, you know, because that's the difference between the varieties. Obviously, if you're talking about just a few percent yield difference, if you're at 1.5 tons in terms of actual volume of grain, that's no longer very much. I think the grain size advantage in 1.5 tons is probably the biggest factor that would sway me. Yeah. It's not as long as Fathom and Fleet. They're the things that you would go with if you were really sowing deep. But it's about the same as Commander, so moderately long.
Are we doing all we can to expose these new varieties to overseas brewing companies? As an industry, can we do a better job at getting these varieties to these brewers to be accessing them earlier?
Yeah, it's I guess a different world to when we had regulation of barley marketing. So in ABB times, of course, part of their function was doing all that sort of work. In a deregulated environment, it's a little trickier because the guys who are ultimately going to sell this stuff compete with each other. So a whole of industry approach isn't as harmonious as it could be. But we're very fortunate. We have good relationships with just about all of those customers. So we physically go to China and we bring those guys here. So we have, we're at the moment hosting a delegation of Chinese buyers in Sydney. So I'm supposed to be there, but I'd rather be with you. So we're very active in that space, as are all other participants in the malting barley breeding game. It's part of our job to do that. So the question was, does the new Emmy-tolerant barley have the same yield as Hindmarsh? So we saw it in national variety trials for the first year last year, and appears identical. So that puts it 7 to 10% higher yielding than Scope, which is the alternative. So obviously a very different plant type to Scope, but certainly a big yield step up.
So there's no fungicides put on these at all?
Question was about fungicides on the trial behind us. I actually don't have that, and it's not in the book, so I don't know if anyone's here from the site that can tell us, but I suspect it has, because they're pretty clean. If we look at the nil treatment in the barley fungicides trial, you can see some scald, a little bit of net form, and a little bit of spot form. The variety that's used in that trial is Charger, just down here a little bit, and Charger looks pretty clean here. So I suspect it's got Sestiva plus something else across the trial. You go through, you'll probably only find boron symptoms, is all I can see.
Jason, have you got any comments on loose smut increasing in barley varieties?
Ah, so a question about loose smut in barley varieties. So we have Hugh here. He could probably comment better than me, but certainly there have been plenty of observations over the last couple of years in Hindmarsh crops particularly. And I think I've made a comment in the paper about the importance and options of seed treatments to keep on top of that. And I guess we reasonably expect the same susceptibility in Latrobe, so it's certainly important to be vigilant and on top of that with seed treatments. But Hugh, did you want to comment?
To say there have been two reports of loose smut in Scope, which is a bit surprising. I put that down probably simply that there's a lot more inoculum coming out of the large number of Hindmarsh crops, so the Scope's a bit more exposed, but that is a bit surprising. But otherwise, it has just been Hindmarsh, and it's just highly susceptible, obviously. So the main problem seems to be with people using Baytan, but we are doing a very large seed treatment trial at the moment, so we should get some better results, look at different options. But the main thing is you do have to maintain treatment for powdery mildew. Don't drop off powdery mildew control when you're trying to change for your loose smut control.
Thank you. Boron tolerance for Latrobe? Question was boron tolerance for Latrobe. In my experience, it'll show the same level of symptoms that we see in Hindmarsh. So Hindmarsh does tend to show boron toxicity symptoms, not as bad as Maritime, but it does light up a bit. But really, that's a cosmetic thing. We've seen Hindmarsh perform very reliably and drought stress conditions on boron toxic soils. So you'll see those symptoms in Latrobe, but I wouldn't be too worried about it. Main thing is that you recognise it as boron and don't put a fungicide on.